Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Talk to us about your breakout wide receiver that you have.
Yeah, when I looked at this wide receiver, I was blown away at what his ADP is right now. And it makes some sense because there's just a lot of unknown in Green Bay right now. I talked about it with A.J. Dillon, how Devontae Adams exits in that wide receiver room. And now you just have this void of names that you've heard of, but they haven't been fantasy relevant for quite some time, right? We're talking about Alan Lazard. We're talking about Randall Cobb, Sammy Watkins, and now enter in rookie Christian Watson. But I think the guy that I've heard a lot of buzz about and the guy that we saw have some success last year in this offensive system with Aaron Rodgers is Alan Lazard. He's going all the way down at wide receiver 54. I feel like he could almost be put as a sleeper at that range. He hasn't shown up to mandatory minicamp right now because he's trying to dispute his restricted free agent tender. I don't think that lasts forever. Rodgers has already come out and said, hey, Lazard is our guy who's going to have to step up and become that number one since Devontae is gone. So if that's coming from Aaron Rodgers, who has experienced multiple years with Alan Lazard, Christian Watson's a rookie from the FCS level that is already raw to begin with as a prospect. Now we're talking about jumping from FCS to an NFL offense with Aaron Rodgers. I think that might take a little bit of time. Randall Cobb is 33. I get that the rapport is there, but there's not a high ceiling with Randall Cobb and the type of routes he's going to be running. And then we have Sammy Watkins, who really hasn't been fantasy relevant for quite some time. Sorry, Cody Kutzer, but he just hasn't been a guy that we can rely on. So that leaves Alan Lazard. And I know it's like, hey, that leaves Alan Lazard. He scored 8 touchdowns last year on 60 targets. I forgot about that until I started doing some more digging. This guy was a touchdown machine. And why did we like Devontae Adams so damn much? It's not because he was super efficient and he's catching long bombs and having 16 yards per catch. No, he had volume and he had touchdowns, and that's all he needs. So if you tell me Alan Lazard's going to get 18 to 20, maybe even 22% of the target share. Oh, by the way, he had 8 touchdowns on 60 targets. Now we blow his targets up to 120-ish around that mark. I definitely see double-digit touchdowns from Aaron Rodgers in his future. If he's the number one guy, like it sounds like Aaron Rodgers is telling him, I don't know. I just see wheels up. And wide receiver 54 is just bonkers to me. I think that's going to rise once he reports to camp. Once there is some buzz around him, he could be the number one while Christian Watson's kind of in the wing. But right now, because there's so much unknown in the wide receiver room, he's a massive discount. He's a massive breakout target that I think you guys need to be looking at later in drafts.
I couldn't agree more. And if you look at just kind of what he did, even despite that, I mean, he had 6 games last year where he was a top 36 wide receiver. And really, kind of down the stretch from weeks 14 through 18, 4 of those 5 games, he scored double-digit PPR points. And that 20.9 against Chicago, 13.8 against Cleveland, 19.2 against Minnesota, and 24.5 against Detroit. So, you know, he did start to come on late last year as well. So, you know, he is kind of the de facto wide receiver one. And it's wild to me that he is not gaining more buzz, considering he is tethered to Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers obviously back-to-back MVP seasons. You know, it's not like he's falling off or he doesn't have anything left in the tank. I mean, so it is kind of wild to me that Alan Lazard isn't gaining more buzz than what he is. But my guy I'm going to talk about, and this is tough for me because I started the offseason not high because a lot of people were overhyping this guy because of the game he had in the playoffs, right? And I started the year with like kind of pushback and like, oh, you know, he is being overvalued. And just because I kind of felt like, one, we had never really seen him put it all together. I kind of like the talent, but I knew people were going to overvalue him because of what he did in the playoffs, and that is Gabriel Davis, right? We saw that monster performance he had where he put up 8 catches, 201 yards, and 4 touchdowns for 52.1 fantasy points. And, you know, but the problem is now is we've went through the entire offseason and they had done nothing to add to this group, right? They brought in Jameson Crowder, if you consider that something, and then they drafted Khalil Shakir in the 5th round, and that's really all that's there. And so he really, Emmanuel Sanders is gone, so he is really kind of, Cole Beasley is gone. So he is like the locked-in number 2 wide receiver in one of the most high-powered offenses in the league. So it's really hard not to like Gabriel Davis. And if you kind of look at some of the numbers for him as well, you know, last year he did only have 63 targets, 11% target share, but he was 8th in average depth of target, 17 red zone targets for him. And over the past 2 seasons, he is top 5 in end zone targets over the last 2 seasons and top 5 in yards per reception. 13 touchdowns over the last 2 seasons. And he kind of has some like Dez Bryant type trajectory, because if you kind of look at Dez, he was kind of the same way. Each year he kind of got a little bit better until he obviously went on that great run that he had. I'm not saying he's going to be Dez Bryant. That is kind of where Gabriel Davis is at, right? Gabriel Davis now is in line to be the number 2 wide receiver here. I have seen some outlandish takes from some people, though, saying that he is going to be the wide receiver 1 on this team by the end of the year. Stop with that. That's ridiculous. He's not better than Stephon Diggs. He's not going to outproduce Stephon Diggs this year. I don't see that happening. Regardless of that, I definitely think we could be seeing a wide receiver here that by the end of the year is a top 15 wide receiver. And I don't think that's all that hot, especially when you have Josh Allen as your quarterback. So,
yeah, I honestly think offseason buzz will lean towards other players and it will actually push him down. Obviously, the reason he's going so high is he had that fantastic playoff game. It was the last game we saw the Bills play, right? When you see that, it's fantastic. And now he's going to be the number 2. That's why people are pushing him up. And I think rightfully so. One thing I don't know if we really dug into, his targets were 62 his rookie year and 63 this last year. He has not gotten volume yet. He has not gotten any type of volume. Like, that's wide receiver 3 on an offense that only passes 510 times. Like, that's bad numbers. You're telling me we have a team that's probably going to be top 3 in passing attempts. They're going to throw it probably near 600 times. With Josh Allen, who is a down-the-field thrower, and he has a fantastic touchdown rate the last 2 years. Like, this guy had 7 touchdowns his rookie year, 6 touchdowns this last year on only 60 targets each season, 13 touchdowns on 120 targets. That's bonkers, and so I would say that doesn't keep pace, but that's fine because if he gets near 100 targets, he's still going to be near a double-digit guy, and especially because his yards per reception is 17.1 his rookie year, 15.7 this second year. Like, he is getting down the field. So he's efficient with his targets and he's a touchdown threat. That's just what you want in a wide receiver going at wide receiver 30, right? What can I get at my wide receiver 3? Oh, I want a high ceiling. Tell me who's going to be better in that wide receiver range than Gabe Davis. I just think it's a fantastic value for him for what you can get. Sure, there's going to be some dud weeks, but you have that with all wide receivers. There's really not a higher ceiling for that level of player.
Totally agree. And, you know, I you want players tethered to good quarterbacks and a good team on high passing volume teams as well, right? So the volume is definitely going to be there for him. So I've come around on Gabe Davis. I push back a little bit because whenever everybody starts to hype up a certain player, you know, especially after one game, I get a little bit hesitant because at one point he was actually going higher than that. So he's kind of fallen a little bit in terms of ADP.
Yeah, and I'm looking here, Fantasy Pros ADP for PPR. He's down there at wide receiver 36. Like I said before, I think he just drops because you're going to start to see hype from like Allen Robinson with the Rams, right? Catching passes from Super Bowl champion Matt Stafford. You're going to see Juju, right? You're high on Juju. He's going to jump above him. He's below him right now. Rashad Bateman's below him. You know Rashad Bateman as the number 1 in Baltimore is going to jump above him. If Robert Woods is healthy, can he be the number 1 for Tennessee? Like Drake London, there's a lot of more flashier names right now than when you're like, hey, he caught 4 touchdowns in a playoff game that didn't matter to me in fantasy. That happened way back in January. Like, people are going to start to lean towards all of these camp hype rookies, people getting healthy, people catching passes. Like, I just think his value is going to get even better. So you're saying wide receiver 30. I'm saying wide receiver 36. I will transition to my final player here. I'm going to the tight end room. Yes, we talk tight ends here at TFA, and that's Cole Kmet. And I know it's no secret that everybody knows he didn't score any touchdowns last year, and there's going to be some regression there. And I think that's still important to state, right? He is going to have better touchdown luck than the 0 he caught on over 65 targets. so he is basically him and Darnell Mooney. I think you said it with Justin Fields, right? We have Darnell Mooney. We have David Montgomery catching some passes. I think he's a better pass catcher than some people give him credit for. And then we have Cole Kmet as that big red zone target, right? Darnell Mooney isn't a big target. David Montgomery isn't catching a ton of receiving touchdowns. Who's going to catch a lot of these? It's probably going to be Cole Kmet. And I think him being one of the only options, proven options for Justin Fields, I think he's also going to have a decent target share where he can get 80 to 85, maybe even 90 targets in this offense, which is really good for a tight end. He's going all the way down at tight end 15. So he's not even if you're drafting one tight end, you have 12 teams in the league. He might not even be drafted in some leagues. And I think this is a guy, if you want to punt on this position, take all these other guys, absolutely stack up running back, wide receiver, get your quarterback. You can snag Cole Kmet in one of your last rounds. And I think he's going to be a top 12 guy and flirt kind of with that top eight. I really think that top seven or eight is where you get some separation from just your, hey, did you get a touchdown with your 40 yards, right? I think he can be that guy that he maybe averages 40, 45 yards, but then he has seven-ish touchdowns, eight-ish touchdowns, where he's actually setting himself up maybe Dawson Knox-like in that type of vein. And so I think Cole Kmet is really a underrated option that can be this breakout in his year three. We haven't even talked about year three, right? Year three is that breakout for tight end. We've seen it time and time again. And I think Cole Kmet is right there on the cusp.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a guy that everybody's talking about this offseason. He's kind of been the kind of the go-to sleeper tight end, which I'm like, can we kind of stop calling a sleeper? He's not a sleeper anymore, guys, okay? Everybody's talking about him. He's not a sleeper. But anyways, I do like him as an option. You know, I guess I'm all in on the Bears offense this offseason because I have hyped up Darnell Mooney, David Montgomery, Justin Fields. Like, I'm just all in on the Bears, apparently.
Get your season tickets for Soldier Field. You're going to
a bear down, baby. Bear down. You know, Ryan Williams will love that. Anyways, I'm going to talk about my last guy so we can get out of here and wrap this thing up, and that is David Njoku. One, shockingly, I was not expecting to see a four-year, $54 million contract coming for David Njoku. But I will say that this is excellent for David Njoku because they cut Austin Hooper. So now it's just him and Harrison Bryant. And obviously we know Deshaun Watson is going to be the quarterback there whenever that is. We don't know the extent of the suspension he's going to get. We'll probably find that out here. Probably, I would assume, before training camp. I don't think they're going to let Sean Watson show up training camp without knowing whatever suspension is coming for him. And so, you know, depending on whatever that is, you know, we will adjust from there. But David Njoku right now, tight end 18 off the board. And listen, this guy is still super explosive. One of the most explosive, best athletic tight end there is in the league right now. And, you know, he has been in the league. Crazy, I guess, it's what, 2017? I kind of forgot he's been in the league for that long. But he's never really truly broken out. But it's also one, he's been in an offense that has always been, you know, with no quarterback or Baker Mayfield being at quarterback and a team that really wants to run the rock. But now you actually get a legit quarterback here with Deshaun Watson, pair him. You know, obviously Amari Cooper's there, but then there's a lot of unknowns past these guys. And so, you know, David Njoku last year, 53 targets, 11% target share. He was only 25th in routes run. 36 receptions, 475 yards, four touchdowns. He did have that monster game, I think, where he had over 100 yards and a couple touchdowns last year for like 27 fantasy points. But overall, 16th in yards after the catch, 12th in yards per route run, and he was 7th with a 121.2 QB rating when targeted, which was 7th among all tight ends. So there is a lot to like here with David Njoku. Still super athletic, a guy that you can kind of count on. And, you know, once Deshaun Watson's there, I mean, this offense, like I said, I do think this offense is going to be much more pass heavy. So David Njoku, if you're looking for a late round tight end 18 off the board, give me that all day. I've been taking him in underdog fantasy drafts, best ball drafts, and you know, he's going to be one of the guys that I'm going to be looking at taking if I don't take a Travis Kelce or a Mark Andrews. All I really, once I get to Dalton Schultz for me, if I don't get one of those guys, everybody, you know, Kyle Pitts, you know, Mark Andrews, Kyle Kelce, or Dalton Schultz, I'm going to wait on tight end. And I'm going to take David Njoku and see how this thing works out because the talent, the athleticism is 100% still there. Sometimes it takes these guys a little bit longer to put it all together. We kind of saw a little flash of it, I think, his second year in the league. But I think he puts it all together this year. Give me David Njoku as a breakout guy this year. And he's going to finish the top 12 tight end. I have him at 11 right now in my rankings.
Yeah, I really like that because I think the big conversation right now that we're all fixating on, and properly so, is Deshaun Watson going to be that quarterback? And if so, how many games, right? The recent news is definitely something to take into consideration. That's something that we'll probably break down on a separate podcast. We don't have time to dive into all that right now. But there's definitely a question on how many games he plays, if he plays. So that's one piece. But I want to throw that all aside, Kev, because I think one thing that we didn't talk about in this talk about David Njoku is that there was 142 targets to the tight ends last year. And that's in a run-first offense. They run on first down. They run on second down. Hell, sometimes they run on third down. 142 targets split between Austin Hooper, David Njoku, and Harrison Bryant. Now, we know that David Njoku isn't getting all 142, but can he get 75? Can he get 80? Like, I think that's a fantastic potential for him when we're talking about where you have to take him at. And if we hear that Watson's suspended for 8+ games, people are going to be all out. They're going to shut the door on David Njoku. And I don't know if that's quite fair because Austin Hooper, splitting all that time, still had 61 targets, right? Like, I get it. That's not fantastic. You're not pounding the table about that. But let's just add on 20. Like, 80 targets for a tight end is going to get you, if you get 5 or 6 touchdowns, you're going to be a top 12 tight end. And he's not being drafted there. So I think that's why I really like this breakup, because there's the potential with Deshaun Watson, and there's just potential because the room's been cleared out a little bit. So really like that pick. I'm curious on what happens with this situation.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.